Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is February the 3rd, 2017. And as always, I thank you for joining me. Great to get together with you at the end of the week to play that game of catch up. So much to catch up on. Those of you familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the INS, an agency that was in the wake of 9/11, basically folded, mutilated, and destroyed under the Bush administration when they created the Department of Homeland Security. I came to call it the Department of Homeland Surrender. So certainly the challenges facing President Donald Trump in getting immigration law enforcement to work effectively and efficiently, those challenges are daunting. I understand that the new director of ICE gets a very good grade from some of the folks that I know, but we will see. It's only a director. We need to know who is working with him. And perhaps after what we saw with the former attorney general, the acting attorney general, a holdover from the Bush administration, who undercut the president, we have to hope that there are people at ICE who won't do the same thing. And if they do, then they need to be dealt with swiftly and decisively, as Donald Trump did with that recalcitrant attorney general, acting attorney general. Can't wait for Jeff Sessions to be occupying that position. Arguably, he could become the best attorney general we have seen in generations. So that's something that I look forward to. Hopefully the nonsense will stop in the Senate and they will confirm Jeff Sessions. Again, if you're familiar with me, you know that I write for a bunch of websites. I write for CAPSWeb.org, California's Population Stabilization. Been working with them for years. Also, very proud to be a columnist. Write regularly for FrontPageMag.com, Front Page Magazine. I write for The Social Contract. I've been doing everything in my power to try to wake up our fellow Americans and our politicians about the true significance of America's borders and America's immigration laws. For years, for decades actually, failures of the immigration system have had a devastating impact on America and Americans. Most people were not made aware of it. Most people, when I began working as an agent, and I would say that I was an immigration agent, would immediately make jokes about raiding factories and raiding kitchens of greasy spoon diners. And to be frank, I did. I did do those raids. Pardon me, but I did much more than that. In fact, I may have done that at the beginning of my career, but quickly, in fact, my first case proved it to me. Immigration has a direct nexus to terrorism, has a direct nexus to criminal organizations and drug trafficking. Immigration law enforcement is actually a follow-on to the work that the military does. All five branches of the U.S. military have a common mission. The common mission is to keep America's enemies as far from our shores as possible. Whether the Navy on the high seas, backed up by the Coast Guard, whether the Air Force, making certain that enemy aircraft don't get into our airspace, the Army, of course, operating on the ground, all these elements working together, the U.S. Marine Corps, working in concert, have that same mission. Keep our enemies away from us, whatever it takes, whether it's destroying their strongholds overseas, fighting them in the various theaters. That's why we have a brilliant, dedicated, valiant, incomparable military. But let's face it. In this day of asymmetrical warfare, it's not just overseas that we need to worry. We need to worry about those enemy combatants who make their way to the United States where they pose a threat to our safety. And we've seen this repeatedly. We saw it in 1993 when we had two terror attacks, first at the CIA, a Pakistani by the name of Kansi. Then we had the first bombing at the World Trade Center, February 26, 1993. We saw 9/11, and we've had how many attacks since then? And nearly every one of those attacks involved individuals from other countries who, one way or the other, managed to game the immigration system, managed to enter the United States, embed themselves, and go about their deadly preparations to take innocent lives. So how in the world we could see the demonstrations and the rioting that we have seen because Donald Trump is following up on campaign promises blows my mind. It's unfathomable. I guess it's unfathomable to the thugs that we actually have a president who keeps his campaign promises. Politician keeping campaign promises, almost the headline you never see. And now we finally have a president who's doing just that, who understands just how significant our borders, our immigration laws are, understood it from the outset. And the American people clearly understood it because Donald Trump won the presidency. And I believe he did so in spite of some missteps because of his position on protecting America by securing our borders and enforcing our immigration laws. And there's nothing unfair about it. And we're going to talk more about it. But I also want to remind you before I move on and forget to say this, if you're not familiar with my own personal website, please check that out. And that website, of course, is michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. And I want to focus, at least for the beginning of my program today, on an article that was published on Front Page Magazine just a couple of days ago on February the 1st. And the title of it was Aliens Guaranteed Entry into the United States, into the U.S. with a question mark. The subtitle, Trump's Executive Order on Immigration and the Recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Now, if you look at the way the news media has portrayed Donald Trump, President Trump's executive order, it's about bigotry and hatred. It's about dividing the world. I mean, it's just something that is impossible to fathom. And the fact that there are fools willing to listen to this garbage is what boggles my mind. Those of you not old enough to remember it know that the expression of drinking the Kool-Aid refers to some leader in Jonestown, Guyana, who convinced people to drink poisonous Kool-Aid and commit suicide. That's where the expression drinking the Kool-Aid comes from. And I can tell you that the people who have been buying in to the lies and the nonsense being spewed by the media, being spewed by the Democratic Party, and it causes me great pain to have to single out an entire party. I'm registered as a Democrat, full disclosure. I've been registered my whole life. This, I'm a pro-labor guy. My dad will always be my biggest hero. He was a construction worker, a tradesman, plumber by trade, as he would proudly tell people he did for a living. And tradesmen are very valuable people. I would argue that tradesmen are far more essential for America or Americans than thieving bankers, forgive the oxymoron, and accountants and school teachers and everybody else, doctors. And the reason I say it is because without the construction trades, you would have doctors practicing medicine in an open field or under a tree somewhere. The foundation of our country, the buildings, the infrastructure, the office buildings, the roadways, all of those are built by construction workers, tradesmen. And to minimize American tradesmen the way we've been doing with day laborers who are not professional, who don't undergo an apprenticeship program. My dad's apprenticeship program was 5 years, the same as getting a master's degree. They're highly skilled and they do dangerous, filthy, backbreaking work. And yet, the level of disrespect from the politicians, the work Americans won't do, coming from the party that used to be the party that stood up for working America. When I was a kid, delineation between Republican and Democrat was relatively simple. There were certain other issues, obviously. But basically, simply stated, the Republican Party looked out for the people who owned businesses, which is fine. Certainly, if you're a business owner, you have legitimate concerns. No two ways about it. And those concerns should be honored or at least considered. And then you had the Democrats who looked out for the needs of the working people, and certainly their needs are no less legitimate. So you had this balance of power. The Republicans looked out for business owners, the Democrats looked out for America's workers, and things went along fairly smoothly, with hiccups here and there, but politics made sense. And when the Democrats turned their back on the average American worker, knifed the average American worker in the back, the wheels came off the wagon. Because there's nobody looking out for the average American. And along comes Donald Trump and starts talking not about building America, but America and Americans, putting them together, which is something I have written about. You know, one of my favorite songs is sung by Frank Sinatra, "What is America to Me?" And if you listen to the lyrics, and they're great, powerful lyrics, I mean, to me, this could almost be a second national anthem. At the end, he sings, most of all, it's its people. It's not mountains. It's not trees. It's people. People of every race, every religion, every creed, every ethnicity. America is its people. And finally, we have a president who understands it and makes the American people his priority. And suddenly, the politicians from both political parties go nuts. And what do they accuse Donald Trump of being? But a populist. Boy, now there is an insult. A president who is a populist. And I was talking to a TV producer earlier today. I'm probably going to be doing a television program on the internet next week. Not unusual. I do lots of those. Incredibly, no longer on mainstream TV because they are all in with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, with the American Immigration Lawyers Association, with the bankers, people who are happy to exploit immigration, destroy the wage structure of middle-class working Americans, make things more difficult for America's working poor and take from them the opportunities for advancement to make it to the middle class. Yes, that middle class largely was made possible by effective immigration law enforcement to make certain that Americans would never have to compete with foreign workers. Well, that notion's gone. It was gone, at least until Donald Trump comes along. And, you know, I don't agree with everything he says or everything he does, but you tell me what president that you are aware of has made the well-being of American citizens the priority, the focus, you see? And so they accuse him of being a populist. What a slander. What an insult. Because apparently these same lame brains who say, well, Donald Trump is a populist, forgot how the Declaration of Independence begins with three words. We the people, in order to form a more perfect government. We the people. If that is not a war cry of populism, I don't know what is. This country, folks, was founded on the notion of populism, a country whose people are its leaders, where the term citizen or title citizen is the highest title, to be a citizen in a country that looks out for its people. That is populism. And of course, both political parties have gone nuts because, my God, he's not playing games the way we used to. He's thrown sand into the picnic. And the panic, especially on the side of the Democratic Party, is astonishing. It's a lack of integrity on their part. You know, when I was a kid and people were told that a particular person was a sportsman, sportsmanlike conduct was a high compliment because sportsmen adhered to this high, lofty principle that said it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. So think about this. When was the last time you even heard that expression, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game? Sportsmen today don't give a damn what it takes. Whatever it takes is what they're willing to do in order to win the game, and that includes using drugs. It's not about playing by the rules, quote unquote, about winning at all costs. And so when you have that philosophy permeate a society, when you have politicians who say, I don't care that I lost the election, I'm going to get even with my opponent. And it was remarkable during the presidential debates when Hillary challenged Donald Trump and it made headlines all over the place. Donald, if you lose the election, are you willing to abide by the findings of the voters? Look what the Democrats did. Hillary lost. Okay, so first, it was all about one excuse after another. They wanted a voter recount. Well, they had voter recounts. And what did the voter recount show? In places like Detroit, more people voted than there were registered voters. And Donald Trump won there. And so, you know, you look at all of this. He was picking up votes in place. Rather, he lost there, but he picked up other voting districts. So you saw where if there was anything that was done wrong, it was done wrong against Trump on behalf of Hillary. And so they said, well, the recount isn't working. What else can we do? So now they're blaming it on the Russian hackers. The Russians did it. The Russians did it. And yet not one computer expert said that the Russians were able to hack into the computer system so that they would throw the election. It didn't change the vote count. But now the argument is that by releasing the information contained in the Democrat websites, that somehow that altered the way people voted, so Trump won because of that. Well, I don't think that's the case either, but if it is, it's because the American people found out what the Democrats were really up to. Again, what happened to, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Now, they worried about Trump's people going berserk if he lost. Who went berserk? Who staged riots then, and who are now staging riots, whether it's at Berkeley or elsewhere? It's the adherents of the wackaloon Democrat Party. And it's up to the Democrats to get their party back on the track. I would argue that the Democrats that are railing against Trump's efforts to protect America and Americans need to be voted out of office post-haste. They need to be primaried into oblivion, and if that doesn't do it, then vote them out in the general election. This is a dangerous game of anarchy that they are playing. They are playing with fire because they want to win no matter what the cost. You know, I'm not a biblical scholar, but we all know about the wisdom of Solomon and how two women claimed to be the mother of the same baby. And back then, of course, there was no DNA testing. So King Solomon hit upon this strategy. And as I've told my family, life is all about strategy. And he was very good at strategy. And what King Solomon said was, okay, I'm willing to cut the baby in half. But you see, behind that, he knew that the real mother would never allow a hair on that baby's head to be harmed, where the lying woman who claimed to be the mother would probably have no problem with that as long as she got her piece of that baby. And naturally, one woman started to cry and said, whatever you do, don't hurt the baby. I would rather the other woman take my child than something bad should happen to him. The fake mother, of course, said, cut that baby up. I want my chunk of flesh. Well, we knew who the mother was. The Democratic Party, where America is concerned today, is acting not unlike that fake mother. We don't care what happens to America or Americans. Just give us our chunk. Give us our piece of the action. This is like organized crime speaking, not like representatives of we the people speaking. It is disgusting. It is despicable. It is anti-American. And truly, these Democrats are hypocrites, to coin an expression. I was on a program earlier today with Bobby Gunther Walsh, WAEB, out of Pennsylvania. I'm on his program every other Friday, and it's a privilege to do his show. We've become friends. I was with him in Pennsylvania for an event not long ago. And by the way, if you folks out there become aware of any possible speaking opportunities, please let me know. I'm always happy to get out there and participate, debates, panel discussions, town hall meetings, whatever it takes to have that discussion. The First Amendment isn't only about freedom of press, speech, and religion. Everybody rattles those three off. It's about the right for peaceable assemblage, that we can have an honest conversation. Not what you saw at Berkeley the other day with the rioting because the editor of Breitbart was supposed to speak. I find it astonishing. But anyway, I digress. This morning on Bobby Gunther Walsh's program, he played an audio tape of President Bill Clinton when he was running for the presidency before the election, speaking about the significance of secure borders and effective immigration law enforcement, because he made it clear that he understood that by not securing the borders, we're allowing people into the country who would hurt us, because he understood that people working illegally were replacing American workers. Both very bad issues. Pardon me. So you look at Bill Clinton's speech, where he could have been Donald Trump in terms of the words that he was using. We're going to secure the borders. We're going to enforce the immigration laws. We need to increase the deportation of aliens with criminal histories. Last year, Barack Obama stopped the processing and admission of Syrian refugees at one point. I believe it was the Syrians. And we certainly know with the Iraqi situation, I'm actually conflating two things. You will have to forgive me. I'm doing this without notes in front of me. In 2011, Iraqi refugees, where the processing was stopped for 6 months when it was discovered that two Iraqi refugees living in Kentucky, that their fingerprints had shown up on IEDs in the Middle East, improvised explosive devices. Chuck Schumer, when he heard about the Syrian refugees not being able to be vetted because there were hearings about it, made the statement last year while Barack Obama was in the Oval Office that we must not allow any refugee into the United States who cannot be vetted if we're not 100% certain as to whether or not that person poses a threat. That was just a year ago, not even a year ago, right? And so a year ago, here's Chuck Schumer making this big statement, don't let the refugees in if we can't vet them. Now, Donald Trump is in the Oval Office, and we have Chuck Schumer with his crocodile tears. This is un-American. This is terrible. And his quivering lip. Chuck Schumer, in more ways than one, is a bad actor. Bad actor. How in the world can you make that statement about don't let in the refugees after he heard from John Brennan, the head of the CIA under Barack Obama, warning that we can't vet them? Warnings were issued also by James Comey, the head of the FBI. Warning was issued by Mike Steinbeck, the assistant director for counterterrorism at the FBI at congressional hearings, Senate hearings. They were all in agreement. We cannot vet these people. There's no people on the ground in Syria who can go door to door, knock on the doors, make inquiries. We know that ISIS terrorists have overrun government office buildings in Syria. They've seized blank passports, blank identity documents, and the printing machinery used to make the passports and make the other identity documents. There was a journalist, I believe from Great Britain, who for a couple $1,000s bought a complete suite of identity documents, driver's license, passport, whatever, in the name of a dead Syrian. It was handed to him, and experts looked at it and said this is indistinguishable from the authentic item because it was made out of the same component materials. So it was very clear that we can't vet these people, and whether we put them in a resettlement camp for 90 days or for 3 months or 6 months, it doesn't matter. There's no databases and no way to conduct investigations, so it doesn't matter how long they sit somewhere while supposedly we're vetting them. Impossible. And back then, Chuck Schumer stepped up to the microphones and said, we must not let anybody in that we're not 100% certain about. And then Donald Trump is the president, and now here we have Chucky Boy out there doing this nonsense. And this isn't just a matter of a nicety. We're talking about human lives. In fact, this morning, soldiers in Paris outside the Louvre prevented a tragedy when some guy with a was going to go on a stabbing rampage, and they shot him to death, but he did wound one of the soldiers first. Or rather, they wounded him. They didn't shoot him to death, but he was trying to kill people, and they wind up wounding this guy. Seriously, he's in custody, and it has been called by the leadership of France a terror attack. How many more people have to die before the Democratic Party and before the journalists are willing to tell the truth about the dangers we face because of failures of the immigration system? It's unbelievable. And think about the journalists, so-called, who refuse to tell the truth. Think about the journalists who breathlessly reported how 109 aliens en route to the United States with visas that had been issued to them, and they left in good faith, fully expecting to enter the United States, and they wouldn't be admitted because of the executive order signed by Donald Trump. What they ignored, as I pointed out in my article for Front Page Magazine, is that in 2013, this is according to Customs and Border Protection statistics as reported by the Congressional Research Service, an arm of the Congress, 205,000 aliens attempted entry in the United States but were turned around at ports of entry. Many of them had visas. So how in the world did they not make that point? Why do they keep referring to the seven countries on the list of countries that are involved by the executive order? They keep emphasizing Muslim majority countries. There are many Muslim majority countries in the world, roughly 50. And in fact, if the president's goal was to prevent Muslims from entering the United States, why didn't he go after Indonesia before he went after Yemen? In fact, if you look at the population of Indonesia, which is a Muslim country, the population of Indonesia by itself is roughly the same as the population of all seven of those countries on that magic list combined. Why doesn't the media report that those seven countries, that list, was compiled by the Obama administration because of concerns that these are failed states, countries that are home to terrorists and terror training camps? Why wasn't that mentioned in the news? So look at the way it is reported. The Trump administration sending shockwaves around the world because, you know, wait a minute, what shockwaves around where? Countries have not just the right, but the imperative to protect their people from invasion. And then you have Nancy Pelosi and the others. This is unconstitutional. What is unconstitutional? Did anybody stand up and say, Madam Pelosi? What section of the Constitution is being violated by Donald Trump's executive orders? All we've been hearing is a drumbeat of language. Unconstitutional, unconstitutional. Baloney. Tell me what section of the Constitution, when the Constitution says that the president shall protect the states from invasion. The United States has that responsibility. How do you protect a country from invasion when you have open borders and no way of stopping people who would come here to do harm to us? Senator Menendez from New Jersey said, if they build that wall, it will end trade with Mexico. And how many people parroted that lie? If they build the wall, it will end trade with Mexico. They're our most important trading partner. Either Menendez is even dumber than I thought he was, or he has an even bigger problem with the truth or common sense. The wall that Donald Trump wants to build would not be built in front of ports of entry. They would be built between the ports of entry to funnel all people and all cargo through those ports of entry so they can be inspected. To suggest otherwise is insanity. Please understand that. Please understand that what we are talking about is not blocking the port of entry with a wall. This is stupid. It's about building ports of entry, building walls between the ports of entry to block the flood of narcotics and contraband and illegal aliens, including potentially terrorists and criminals. In Latin America right now, in Brazil, the tri-border region where Brazil abuts with Paraguay and Argentina, for decades, terror training camps have been set up from the Middle East. Hezbollah, Hamas, probably at this point ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Brazil. Do you not think that the terrorists operating in Brazil have a strong desire to come across that border? And we've seen people from countries that sponsor terrorism as well as from China and other countries running that border, the so-called OTMs, other than Mexicans. We know that Iran sends their shock troops on routine flights directly from Tehran in Iran to Caracas, Venezuela. There was an attempt made on the ambassador of Saudi Arabia, on his life, during the prior election cycle, 4 years ago. The people behind it had been affiliated with the Quds from Iran. They were going to kill the Saudi ambassador, blow up the Saudi embassy, and perhaps attack the Israeli embassy as well. The FBI thwarted it. Well, they were operating across that border. And today, the news about Joaquin El Chapo Guzman was all over the news. This is the probably the most pernicious and violent of all Mexican drug dealers in history, had been extradited to the United States. The announcement was, in fact, made on January 20th, the day of the president's inauguration, the day that the marchers took to the streets, wielding signs that borrowed Hillary Clinton's ridiculous statement, "Build bridges, not walls." Well, across that border, El Chapo moved, allegedly, approximately 200,000 kilos of cocaine, huge quantities of heroin and methamphetamine and marijuana. And his organization is responsible, allegedly, for the deaths of thousands of people in Mexico, including beheadings of many of those people, members of law enforcement, the military, the government, judges, and so forth, prosecutors. There have been murders in the United States committed in conjunction with his drug trafficking activities and the corruption of officials. But we're told we have to build bridges, not walls. That if we build a wall, it will somehow harm commerce. The commerce that it would harm is the drug trade. The drug trade. You know, maybe if that wall had been up, the guns of Fast and Furious under the Obama administration wouldn't have been able to make their way down to Mexico. You know, all of this holier-than-thou nonsense being spewed by politicians who can't accept the fact that they lost. And by the way, it wasn't only that the presidency was captured by Donald Trump, but there were more governorships captured by the Republicans, and the Republicans enjoy now a majority in both houses, the Senate, the House of Representatives. So the fact that Trump won is not an aberration. It wasn't as though the Democrats were getting reelected everywhere and more Democrats were replacing Republicans, except for the White House. Then I would say, well, maybe there's something here. But the fact of the matter is that the Republican Party scored victories all over the place on the federal and on state level. Clearly, more and more Americans are turning away from the Democratic Party. So the fact that Trump won is consistent with the national movement towards the Republican Party away from the Democrats. So instead of going back to that notion that it's not a matter of whether or not you win or lose, but how you play the game, not unlike the athletes who take steroids, dope, or do other things to swindle the system, they want to swindle the system also. You have thugs taking to the street in Berkeley, going on rampages, destroying banks and buildings and a Starbucks and all kinds of establishments. We're going to speak out against hate speech. We won't allow hate speech on our campus. What hate speech is that? They're the arbiter who's going to tell Americans what constitutes hate speech. This is censorship, folks, plain and simple. This is censorship. And we now have a president who's trying to protect America and Americans, and you have idiots that are blindly following these liars. I'm going to read something to you. This is in my article. And again, if you go to Front Page Magazine or go to my website, michaelcutler.net, you'll be able to see the article. But I want to read, first of all, let me see if I can do this. I managed to have a miserable cold, but in any event, let me read this to you. This is from Trump's executive order. If you find this interesting, what I ask you to do is please forward this material to as many of your friends as possible. Perhaps post it on Facebook or other social media. Now, let me start out with what Donald Trump said in his executive order. This is the beginning of it. By the authority vested in me as president of the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, including the Immigration Nationality Act, and he went on and then proceeded to give the citation. I'm not going to bother with that. And he said, and then to protect American people from terrorist attacks by foreign nationals admitted into the United States, it is hereby ordered as follows. Now, this is President Trump's words. Section 1, purpose. The visa issuance process plays a crucial role in detecting individuals with terrorist ties and stopping them from entering the United States. Perhaps in no instance was that more apparent than the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, when State Department policy prevented consular officers from properly scrutinizing the visa applications of several of the 19 foreign nationals who went on to murder nearly 3,000 Americans. And while the visa issuance process was reviewed and amended after the September 11 attacks to better detect would-be terrorists from receiving visas, these measures did not stop attacks by foreign nationals who were admitted into the United States. Numerous foreign-born individuals have been convicted or implicated in terrorism-related charges since 2011, including foreign nationals who entered the United States after receiving a visitor, student, or employment visas, or who entered through the United States Refugee Resettlement Program. Could he have been clearer? So you see that, and then you understand that this very much parallels what was said in the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel and in the 9/11 report as well. So let me just pull up that particular paragraph. And this is from the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. And if you've a regular on the program, you know I've quoted this frequently in the past. It is perhaps obvious to state that terrorists cannot plan and carry out attacks in the United States if they're unable to enter the country. Yet prior to September 11, while there were efforts to enhance border security, no agency of the U.S. government thought of border security as a tool in the counterterrorism arsenal. Indeed, even after 19 hijackers demonstrated the relative ease of obtaining a U.S. visa and gaining admission into the United States, border security still is not considered a cornerstone of national security policy. We believe, for reasons that we discuss in the following pages, that it must be made one. How closely does the statement that is at the beginning of the executive order signed by Donald Trump, how closely does that parallel the warning of the 9/11 Commission staff report? And the staff report, by the way, was written by federal agents and attorneys who worked with the 9/11 Commission. And that report is an official report. It was published by the U.S. government printing office and put on sale by the U.S. government. So it's an official report. It's not some supermarket tabloid. And why is it that the media doesn't report on that? They keep talking about how the president is seeking to block the entry of citizens of Muslim-majority countries, when in reality, he's trying to block the entry of terrorists. This is not journalism. And this is not about being politically correct. This is Orwellian. This is newspeak coming right out of the Ministry of Truth, lying through their teeth because they have an agenda. That is not what journalism is about. They should be embarrassed. They should lose their jobs. They are playing with fire. They're lying to the American people. They are betraying their professional responsibilities. And they're betraying America and Americans by lying. The American people have to have the truth. That is why the founding fathers made the First Amendment freedom of press, speech, and religion. Because they understood that for a country to exist as a democracy, the citizens need to have the knowledge as to what is really going on. We are being lied to by the alphabet networks, by brilliant newspapers. Boy, am I being as sarcastic as I can, like the New York Times, who need to change their slogan from "all the news that's fit to print" to "you'll have a fit from what we print." Why do they keep saying Muslim majority countries and not saying trying to keep out terrorists, which is the goal here? That's the goal. Chuck Schumer stands there and does a crappy job of crying. And meanwhile, the same Chuck Schumer who in 2015 said, oh, if there's a shadow of a doubt, don't let them in. If there's any question, don't let them in. If they might be involved with terrorism, don't let them in. And now all of a sudden he stands there weeping. Weeping. U.S. Senator from New York. The city that got hammered the hardest on 9/11. This is the same Chuck Schumer who goes running to Washington as a matter of routine with Bill de Blasio, and he used to do it with Bloomberg. Money, give us money. We need more money. We need more funding. New York is ground zero for the terrorists. They want to blow us up. You got to give us money. New York is a sanctuary city. Chuck Schumer is excited about that. He loves the fact that we're a sanctuary. Oh, they've entered the United States undocumented. Folks, undocumented is not a verb. You can't enter a country undocumented. They entered illegally. They entered without inspection, some of them. Some entered with visas and then, after the fact, violated the terms of their visas. Some were admitted even with green cards and then went on to become criminals, and because of that, they lost their authority to remain here. An alien who has a green card can be deported when he or she is convicted of crimes. But they lump them together. They're all undocumented. And they're entitled to citizenship because Chuck Schumer, with his magic wand, said so. Wow. By the way, a couple of years ago, Chuck Schumer went on a tirade when people were climbing the bridges and hanging up banners, climbing the cables of the Brooklyn Bridge to take artsy photographs of New York Harbor and the Statue of Liberty and the New York skyline. And so, once again, he gets before the cameras. This guy really needs a Screen Actors Guild card. I'm sure his friends in Hollywood can help him out here. And he gets up there, and what does he say? People who trespass are a danger. We don't know who they are or what they're up to or why they're doing it, and they pose a threat to our safety. And he proposed a federal law that would make trespassing on landmarks and critical infrastructure a federal crime, similar to laws that exist for the federal railway system. He said, in New York, when you're arrested for trespass, the most you get is a couple of months in jail. It's not a strict enough punishment. So he suggested that people who climb that tower of the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge to get that artsy photograph should be put in a cage for 5 years because that's what he said it should cost. You trespass on our bridges, you trespass on our national monuments or critical infrastructure, you should be looking at 5 years in jail. But when you trespass on America, even though this might pose a threat to national security, we should give you citizenship, the highest honor a country can bestow upon an alien. The hypocrisy blows my mind. It's endless. And where are the reporters to report on any of this? Nowhere. Where were the reporters to draw the connection between build bridges, not walls, and El Chapo being arraigned? And where has he been arraigned? In New York City. And people today said to me, why New York? I said, if you go down Roosevelt Avenue in Queens, in Jamaica, Queens, and you see all the money wire services, these are places that run 24/7, moving billions and billions, at the risk of sounding like the late Carl Sagan, astronomer and astrophysicist, billions and billions every year wired out of this country because of the drug trade. How many lives ruined by the drug trade? How many people dead because of the violence associated directly or indirectly with the use of drugs? How many people's lives ruined when people become addicted to those drugs? Nothing about that in the media. Build bridges, not walls. Maybe they should be saying build bridges and tunnels because apparently El Chapo loved to build tunnels to smuggle his poisons into our country and our money into his pockets. This is the level of madness that we are now facing in this country. We are facing this madness because where we now stand is to see the lunacy that passes for the political dialogue that we have to listen to on a daily basis now. Constantly, the same nonsense that we keep hearing, the nonsense that it's something terrible about enforcing our immigration laws, about securing our borders, about making certain that terrorists don't get access to the United States. Is this the way that we're supposed to be operating? Nothing, and I mean nothing, makes any sense any longer. Because if you look at the way that things have gone, the politicians are lying through their teeth, especially the Democrats. The Republicans are trying to find a middle ground, I think. They don't know how to deal with Donald Trump. And meanwhile, if you look at what the Democrats are doing, they are creating a toxic situation, totally toxic situation. And where do we go with that toxic situation? That really is the question that we have to ask. Where in the world are we going with this toxic environment wherein you have people being incited to riot? The idea that Donald Trump says, I'm going to protect America and Americans, and everybody gets all worked up. And I'd like to know why. What is there to be worked up about if this is what the president is trying to do? Trying to look out for the best interests of his country that he took an oath to protect. And you have to wonder how this is possible. How in the world is it possible that the news media refuses to report on the truth? That the news media is complicit with the Democratic Party in trying to destroy the legitimacy of the current president. I've never in my life seen this happen before. This is a first for America. In third world countries, it's not unusual that when there's an election, violence follows. People attack one another, and it gets very ugly and very deadly very quickly. Generally, that's not what happens in American elections. And now you're seeing the rioting, the intimidation on college campuses by the thugs, by the anarchists. And you're watching Americans not knowing what to believe. Why don't they know what to believe? Because you have a news media that has been asleep at the switch at best, or complicit at worst. And there's a lesson that Americans must learn from all of this. And that lesson has to be that the politicians that are engaging in this activity need to be voted out of office. The news media that is behind this need to be ignored. Refuse to watch their programming. Let their numbers fall. They should fall. And what we're witnessing are the new companies, the upstarts, so-called, whether it's Newsmax, One American News Network, their subscribership is increasing because they're telling the truth. I'm frequently on those programs, on those networks. The American people aren't as stupid as the politicians hope that we are. Not as stupid as corporate America hopes that we are. But this is why this notion of populism has everybody panicking, that we actually have a president in the Oval Office who is a populist, who's looking out for the average American. And they're trying to turn this virtue into a vice by lying through their teeth. And this really has to stop. Our immigration laws are eminently fair. They're not about race, religion, or ethnicity. It's about preventing the entry of aliens into the United States who have no inherent right to be here, who would pose a threat to our health, safety, survival, or well-being. This is no different from a responsible homeowner who looks through the peephole before admitting a stranger into his or her home. And this makes perfect sense. So how in the world do people not get it? How in the world do people not reject the crazy statements, the reckless reporting, the nonsense that somehow, by keeping terrorists out of America, something that all these politicians themselves called for under the prior administration, now that it's Donald Trump, they're going to criticize him for it and accuse him of bigotry and racism? It blows my mind. This goes beyond bad reporting. In my judgment, this is criminal stuff. Reporters saying that there was nothing inclusive or unifying about the president's inaugural address, when that was the whole theme of his address. That if you allow patriotism into your heart, there's no room for prejudice or bigotry or whatever word that he used. And then if you didn't listen to the speech, or perhaps you weren't paying attention and you believe the journalists, because we really want to believe those people whose voices we hear as a matter of routine on the radio and TV, people are being misled. And they're being misled not because somebody made a mistake. They're being misled because there are supposed journalists out there who apparently have an axe to grind. And the target of their axe has been this administration. One of the big failings of immigration law enforcement, as far back as I could think, has been the failure to enforce our immigration laws from within the interior of the United States. And not just to arrest criminal aliens, but we need to go after the fraud. We need to do all sorts of things, so that even if someone does get into the country illegally or violates the law once they're here, they are discovered and removed. The last president to be concerned about the interior enforcement of our immigration laws was Dwight Eisenhower back in the 50s. Donald Trump wants to triple the number of ICE agents. Think of how many administrations, Republican or Democrat, failed to do what was essential to fix what they keep calling the broken system. And I don't think they didn't do it because they didn't know. I think they didn't do it because they didn't want it fixed. They just wanted to exploit it. Current administration is really a game changer, and he needs the support of the American people. Final thought. If you want to see a great film, The Bridge of Spies, great movie with Tom Hanks about the Rudolph Abel spy case. There's one inaccuracy in the movie. He was arrested in the film by the FBI. In reality, it was an immigration agent who arrested him because of violating the immigration laws. That's how fundamental and significant our immigration laws are. The second largest contingent of agents assigned to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, in point of fact, are immigration agents. That's how important those laws are. I want to thank all of you for spending the hour with me today. Hope you find the program interesting. Please go to my websites, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, and of course my personal favorite, michaelcutler.net. If you like what you see, pass the information along. Put it on Facebook or other social media. Forward the links. Be part of what I call my bucket brigade of truth. And meanwhile, please, please remember, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get involved, folks. Have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you again next time, right here, same place, on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a good weekend, everybody. Good night.